going to talk economics today with Gary. How are you?
Great, great. How are you?
Good. A few questions. First of all, the price of gas is the highest it's ever been in the state of Michigan for February. It's at $3.57 on a statewide average. What's that do to the economy?
Well, we'll have some effect in that you'll have people spending on gasoline that otherwise would have spent on something else. But there's a number of things that are temporary, we might say, in this. One of which is we don't really know what's going to happen between Iran and Israel, and there's worries about that. And you had a refinery shutdown in the state of Washington, I believe. And so there are certain things which are temporary. However, I think you could have improved things with obviously with the Keystone project, if it had gone through. But I think I do think that this is a temporary phenomenon in the higher price. But I do think long term you're going to have demand from China, demand from India as those economies become more. More capitalist, they're going to be improving, and you'll get demand for automobiles. I believe China is the largest consumer of automobiles right now. So I do think long term there'll be an increase in the price of gasoline, but I think this current spike has a lot to do with temporary phenomena.
From your perspective, where does Michigan's economy stand? Is it improving? Has it bottomed out? How do you see it?
Well, Michigan economy is improving. I mean, the elimination of the Michigan business tax was a huge deal. I mean, that tax was a significant problem. I have a little column in what's called the Michigan View. That's an online part of the Detroit News, and I've written a considerable amount on this Michigan business tax. And eliminating that was a big step forward. I do think that we've become more business friendly, and so I think Michigan's long term is doing well. I think you have to sort of look the whole thing in context in terms of the employment. Adam Smith talked about how markets are so efficient that they can overcome a lot of what government does that bogs it down, and I think that's what we're seeing nationally as well. That. You know, we'd be doing a lot better if the government weren't doing so many things to cause problems, but markets are so efficient that we're going to improve.
What could the Snyder administration do to improve the economic climate in the state?
Well, I think the Snyder administration is doing a lot of the things that it should be doing. I think that one thing to do is to work on our school system, and eliminating the cap on charter schools, I think, was a big step forward. Because as we move towards a more competitive system in education, we're going to get results just like when the Chinese move to a more competitive system as a whole. You're going to get better results. You're going to get more efficient allocation of resources and better output.
Do you see the U.S. really tackling this deficit that we have any time in the short term?
Well, I mean, if you look at the numbers, you'll notice that if you take all the expenditures that are made that are what's called discretionary, you still got a deficit. If you eliminated everything but the mandatory programs like Social Security, Medicare, you'd still be running. You're running deficits. I mean, somebody has to tackle the Medicare problem and the Social Security problem and the Medicaid problem. Those things have to be restructured. And when we start to do that, and there's been talk about that, more talk than there would have been 10 years ago, when we start to do that, then we'll start to get an improvement, but not before.
And no one seems to have the guts on the political front, and we, the people, seem to want all the benefits that we could get because all the folks before us got them, and so you have this tug of war going on.
Yes, no question. Politically, it's a very hard thing to do because you have 45 million Americans out there that are getting benefits right now. I think you have to go along the lines that Paul Ryan has gone. But the fact that the chairman of the House Budget Committee has suggested a structural reform in Medicare, and he's still extremely popular, says that people are starting to get the picture. And Social Security can be solved a little more easily because you can extend the retirement age and make great strides just doing that. If you look back to 1935 when Social Security started, the life expectancy was 63, and you could retire at 65. So now you can retire at 62 if you take reduced benefits, and people are living to be in their 80s. So, I think that can be solved, but Medicare is going to be a little tougher nut to crack.
Gary Wolfram is an economics professor at Hillsdale College, and he's live with us on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. Gary, has there ever been a country that was in so much peril when it comes to debt like we are here in the United States, but have yet turned that around and gotten rid of that?
Well, I mean, one of the advantages that we have in the United States is that we have a currency that is used for international trade. I mean, we're sort of the base currency for the world, and that gives us an advantage. For example, Greece's debt has to be paid back in euros, which its central bank can't produce, whereas our debt has to be paid back in dollars, and the Federal Reserve can just make more dollars. So if you're holding U.S. Treasuries, I don't think you have to worry that the United States government's going to default, but what you have to worry about is it's going to inflate that debt away, and so the dollars you get paid back are going to be worth less than the dollars that you lent. So, we have a significant problem. I mean, the United States has never had a debt to gross domestic product, which is the size of our economy, ratio as high as we have now. Other than a brief period from a brief period during World War II and the Korean War. Peacetime debt held by the public numbers in 75% of GDP range, which is what we have now, and estimated out into the future under the Obama budget, those numbers have not ever been that high. But, I do think that once people start to realize this, that, if you win the battle of ideas, Congress will take action.
Can Obamacare work, and can we pay for it?
It can't work. We can't pay for it. I mean, as Milton Friedman famously said, there's no such thing as a free lunch. There's a lot of promises out there that can't be kept, both in Medicare and Social Security and Obamacare. Government allocation of resources just doesn't work out for us. We know that. I mean, those of us old enough to remember the Soviet Union realize that it doesn't work that way. You have huge incentives in the medical care profession to invent things that are really expensive. I tell my students, when do you tell someone you're picking up the check at dinner? And the answer is after they've ordered. We have a situation where it's if you not only told the person you're taking out to dinner, but you told the waiter that you're picking up the check, and you'll pay any amount. Well, then what you get is $1,000 bottles of wine, and that's what you're going to end up with in Obamacare, and then you'll end up with having to set price controls, and you'll limit, that will limit the amount of people that go into the professions, and you'll end up with doctors that are not nearly as skilled as the ones we have now, and a whole host of problems.
Now, Gary, I'm going to get emails from folks who are saying, well, Tony, you asked this guy who is a Mitt Romney supporter. He's a Republican guy. Of course he's going to say it won't work.
Well, yeah, but that shouldn't matter, right? I mean, if you just sat down and thought about it, how can this thing possibly work? First of all, it creates enormous uncertainty. It's a 2,300-page bill. There are so many unintended consequences that are going to come out of this. It is one of the reasons that our unemployment rate is so high, because if you wanted to start out, a car wash, and you had four car washes, you wanted to add another car wash and hire 10 new employees, you have no idea what your costs are going to be, your employment costs are going to be, because you don't know what is going to qualify as a plan. You don't know what the fine's going to be. You don't know what your premiums might be. The insurance companies don't know. No one really knows. As Pelosi said, we have to pass the bill before we figure out what's in it. Well, once you've passed the bill, you don't know what's in it, because so many things are left to to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. I mean, this is just a huge overhang on the economy.
All right, fascinating conversation, Gary. Thanks so much.
Thank you for calling.